was a ghost in my bedroom. She died in 1892. Her husband, the preacher, could only save the child. He said he did all he could do. Well, she washed ashore with bumps and bruises and marks around her neck. And the sheriff had to rule it an accident, but he always wondered in retrospect. But I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. When I was a boy, she was a ghost that roamed my house. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. Oysters were gone from Oysterville by the time the Crouches came to stay, to live at this parsonage with its brand new church for the ones here left to pray. And this new preacher's wife, pure innocence, with a voice calming as rain. In my room she'd sing her little girl to sleep when the daylight began to wane. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. When I was a boy, she was a ghost that roamed my house. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. At night I'd wake and I'd hear her singing there. When I'd open my eyes, she'd vanish in. No preacher, he was not a righteous man. He had two other wives in waiting, far away in another land. He was not a righteous man. Well, here I stand, years later, outside this parsonage of my youth. I moved away from here 30 years ago, but I still think about you and your child, my mother's mother. And I'm your great grandson. Came back here to tell you that it's all right to leave this place, 'cause your work down here is done. I was never scared Mrs. Crouch. When I was a boy, she was a ghost that roamed my house. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. At night I'd wake and I'd hear her singing there. When I'd open my eyes, she'd vanish in.
Yeah. Well, ooh. Well, I want to welcome Sydney Stevens. Sydney, can you hear me?
I sure can. It's wonderful
okay,
to hear
I'm
you.
I'm having a little trouble here. So hang on.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that song and you and your book and everything else. But right now I need to find out why I can't hear anybody. Let's see. I'll find out. Let's put the music back on a little bit. There's no sound. Okay, folks, hopefully you out there in the audience can hear us. Or can hear me.
Carol, can you hear me?
And soon I'll be able to hear myself.
Okay.
And I'll give you a little hint what's coming up. Although I think that song did it for you. My guest coming up is Sydney Stevens from Oysterville, the very same Oysterville that we were just hearing about. And Sydney, are you there?
I am.
Okay, good.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can. I'm sure it's Mrs. Crouch that's messing with us.
It's Mrs. Crouch. I love it. You are right. That's what happened. Thanks, Nick and Emma, because they intercepted Mrs. Crouch. So, Sydney Stevens, I was about to tell you, folks, Sydney came out with her newest, I believe this is your latest book, in June, Historic Haunts of the Long Beach Peninsula. And your earlier one from 2014 was the Ghost Stories of the Long Beach Peninsula. And you've got so many historical books out there filled with stories. But since we've mentioned Mrs. Crouch, who's messing with us, and so did Larry Moranti in his wonderful song, why don't you tell folks what we're talking about?
Well, Mrs. Crouch.
Crouch.
Mrs. Crouch was the wife of the very first full-time preacher in Oysterville. She came with her husband, Josiah Crouch, in 1892. And she had a young baby, a little girl, probably about 18 months old. And they came and lived in the house across the street, which my great-grandfather, who had built the church, also purchased this house that I'm standing in right now.
Okay.
he purchased it to be used as a parsonage. And so they were here. They came in November in 1892. And in the summer of 1893, Crouch was called across the bay on a church call. And the transportation was primarily by water then. There were no roads in this area. And so he took his sailboat, and he also took Sarah, his wife, and his baby with him, and they made a kind of an outing of it. And while they were across the bay and up the Willapa River, they stayed with a farming family, and one morning he asked to borrow their rowboat to go further up river to call on another family there. And during that little jaunt, according to Crouch afterwards, Sarah wanted to try her hand at rowing a boat. And so for those of you who have been in a rowboat, you know that it's sometimes a little tricky to trade places in a rowboat, and Sarah didn't know that. And in making the transfer, she either fell out of the boat or the boat tipped over. That's unclear. And Crouch said later he was able to save the baby, but not Mrs. Crouch. And Sarah was about 20 then. She was young. And she was from Arkansas. Whether or not she could swim, it's not known. Her body was found. The farming families gathered round, and they dragged the river with rakes. And the women that laid her out for burial were concerned about the marks on her neck.
Oh, God.
And she was buried in the Fern Hill Cemetery, and but there was a lot of consternation about it, which reached all the way to Oysterville very quickly, and there was pressure put upon the county to exhume the body, and have a look, which they did within 2 or 3 days.
Hmm.
But even so, and there were three doctors in attendance, as well as the newspaper, I think, and and court officials, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And but she was the decomposition was too extreme by then to be able to tell whether it was marks from fingers around her throat or from the rake. And so he came back to Usherville, and he preached for another couple of months, but still there was a lot of stir. And finally, the sheriff was prevailed upon to put a warrant out for his arrest and to have a grand jury called.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, Crouch disappeared.
Oh,
so,
okay.
In my first ghost story book, that's about as far as the story goes. It's been, 6 or 7 years
seven,
since that
yeah.
first book.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin, Ralph Jeffords, in Virginia, was fascinated by Crouch and by the whole story. And he's big on genealogy. And so he put his many skills to work. And for several years, he pursued Josiah Crouch to try and find out more about him. What happened to him? Where did he go when he left here?
Yeah.
And it was the perfect timing because it's right in these last few years that government agencies and old newspapers have been digitized, and the agencies have digitized their old documents, and they're available online. And if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so Ralph was able to find out a ton of information, almost too much information about Josiah. And so, you know, I just couldn't stand it. I thought, you know, I didn't think I'd ever do another ghost story book, but it's a fabulous way to convey history and about people and places. And
okay, so now where do you get this book, the first ghost book, and all the other, the jailhouse stories, Ocean Park School.
Local bookstores. The ghost books, for sure, are in any place on the peninsula that sells books.
My question is, where did you get the stories? Did you interview people? Did you have...
The other stories in the book?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second book, the one that I sort of had to write to follow up on Josiah Crouch, right during the time that I was kind of thinking about it, kind of not, I met a woman whose name I will not reveal because I promised her.
Okay.
And she's since died, but even so, a promise is a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, or was, very interesting. Some people would call her a ghostbuster.
Uh-huh.
I would call her a psychic.
Ooh.
She just said about herself, "I've always had the gift."
Mm-hmm.
That's all she would say.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped a lot of people quietly over the years on the peninsula. Interestingly, she was about my age, and she'd been here about the same length of time that I've been here. And she was at the point in life where she was quite willing to share with me some of these stories. So we went out to dinner at the Lamplighter when it was still
happening,
going, and it was long rumored to be haunted. She had an experience with several of the ghosts right while we were having dinner, unbeknownst to me or my husband.
Other
people we were with. And she said to us, "Didn't you see? Didn't you hear?"
Oh, my God.
No, we didn't. I felt like, and she was so respectful of the situations, of the ghosts, of what had happened to them, And of the people that were either bothered or enchanted or whatever, because ghosts come in all shapes and sizes. And Madame X was fabulous, and she really taught me a lot. I introduce this book. The introduction is about Madame X, and if you're like I am, I hate to admit this on the radio, but I often skip introductions and get right to the chase. I want to get right into the book. I urge readers of this particular book, Historic Haunts of the Long Beach Peninsula, to read the introduction because it talks about Madame X and what she was about, and I think it's a real eye-opener.
So do you still have interactions, perhaps is the word, with Mrs. Crouch?
No, I wouldn't say interaction. Am I aware of her presence? Sometimes I am, and not very often. And she's never been intrusive. And even when she was living, the Tommy Nelson, who lived across, was an old man, my grandfather's age, when I was a little girl, and he lived across the street right next to the church. And he remembered his sister going to call on Mrs. Crouch. And she was so shy, she kind of stood behind Reverend Crouch to talk to Tommy's sister. And I think she's still shy. I think she's still, and I have to remember often, she's shy. The kinds of things she does are playful, and I have to remind myself quite often that she was only 20.
Right.
She's still
innocent.
Young.
Yeah. So speaking of young and not so young, Sydney, do you want to give folks an idea? Because when you're talking about someone being your age and all of these historical things, do you want to give folks an idea of your time in life?
Of my venerable age.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm starting to get proud of my age.
Good.
Girl.
I think you should be, but I'm going to let you tell it.
Well, I was born in 1936, which makes me 85. I'll be 86 in February.
Great.
And so far, so good. My mind is is somewhat alert. I'm forgetful.
Your mind is amazing, and I would highly recommend that for folks check out your website/blog. How do they get there?
Because if you Google Sydney of Oysterville, you'll get there. Or Sydney of Oysterville, or the blog is called Oysterville Daybook. Daybook is one word.
Okay. And, if they go to Sydney of Oysterville, they can get to the blog. Sydney covers all kinds of things, and there are photos, and it's absolutely new and old, and it's absolutely delightful. So, and you came to live on the peninsula in the '70s. Is that right?
Yeah, 1977, I think. 1978, maybe. I came up here and I actually had a house built for me on the bay, and you'll love who designed it. Noel Thomas designed my house.
Oh wow, very
and,
cool.
then when it came time for my folks to think about what was going to happen to this family house, why Niall and I bought the family house and sold that little house on the bay.
Beautiful, and it's right across the road from the...
Yeah, this family house, yeah, the parsonage, is right across the street from the Oysterville Church, and so I'm standing here at the telephone in the kitchen, and I'm looking at the tourists stopping at the church as we speak.
Oh, wow, yes.
And I want to tell you one other thing, if I have time.
Sure.
It was so nice to hear Larry's voice, the Ballad of Mrs. Crouch. And Larry Moranti first came here to do a house concert right when I was right just before I wrote the first book, the first ghost story book. And he stayed overnight, and as often our musicians do, because he couldn't make it back to Seattle that late. Mm-hmm. And over breakfast, I asked him if all was well, and if, you know, and had he had any experiences with Mrs. Crouch. And he said, "Who's Mrs. Crouch?" As I told him, he got whiter and whiter.
Ooh.
And he ate faster and faster.
and got out of your house.
So his line in the chorus of that, "I was never scared."
Right.
Such a lie.
I think as a child.
I just have to tease him so much about it. But he... It's a wonderful, wonderful ballad, and
yes.
I just was so thrilled that he wrote that. And for you to use it on this show with me was a particular pleasure, and I thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm delighted because I do play Larry's music, and this particular song, though... If someone hears it without your story, without me, it's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, one of those houses with a ghost. Well, not so fast, folks. And there are still plenty around, but there's only one Mrs. Crouch. And fortunately, unfortunately, there are many unrighteous reverend Josiah Crouches.
That is true.
Still exist. So.
And I do want to say one more thing about this second book. You know, when Ralph was doing his research, he found pictures of Josiah Crouch, which is a real treasure.
Mm.
And the really interesting part of that is they are mugshots from San Quentin.
Oh, my God.
And
I'll let
the readers find out for themselves.
Woo-hoo. So
why.
The book, okay, so this book, just to be clear, there are a number of stories. Only one of them is dealing with the Crouch issue.
Yes, that's exactly right.
But there are lots of stories. It is a delight to read Sydney's stories. She's a great writer, and she has a twinkle in her eye for real, as well as in her writing. So again, Sydney of Oysterville, and check it out, Historic Haunts of the Long Beach Peninsula. And if you live around here, then you know you can where you can get the book. Okay, Sydney, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you,
I
girl.
I look forward to someday seeing you again at one of your house concerts, which are always fabulous. And maybe Mrs. Crouch is listening in. Who knows? But we always enjoy.
Well, I know she was at first, or we wouldn't have had that little moment of silence or whatever was happening.
Oh, my Lord. That was bizarre.
That's how she does, you know. Whenever a pair of socks is missing or you can't hear somebody on the telephone. That's it.
Okay, well, it was she then for sure. Thanks so much, Sydney Stevens of Oysterville. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And... got some music for you. I think you'll be able to hear this. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. Happy birthday to Bruce, Curtis, and Stephanie Smith. My Stephanie. Have a listen.
Love the evening. They used to gather neat stars in the meadow, circled near an old oak tree at the times appointed by the seasons of the earth and the phases of the moon. In the center often stood a woman equal with the others and respected for her worth. One of the many we call the healers and the teachers of the wisdom of the earth. The people grew through the knowledge she gave them, herbs to heal their bodies, spells chanting healing incantations, calling forth the wise ones, celebrating in dance and song. Isis has started the Anna, and to Demeter Kali in Anna. Isis has started the Anna, and to Demeter Kali in Anna. Isis has started the Anna, and to Demeter Kali in Anna. Isis has started the Anna, and to Demeter Kali in Anna. There were those who came to power, domination, and they bonded in the worship of a dead man on a cross. They sought control of the common people by demanding allegiance to the Church of Rome. Then the Pope declared the Inquisition. It was a war against the women whose powers he had feared. In this holocaust against the nature people, 9 million European women died. And the tale is told of those who, by the hundreds, holding together, chose their death in the sea, chanting the praises of the mother goddess, a refusal of betrayal. Women were dying to be free. Isis started the Anna, Hecate Demeter Kali in Anna. Isis started the Anna, Hecate Demeter Kali in Anna. Isis started the Anna, Hecate Demeter Kali.
Oh, yeah. Powerful song by Jennifer Barrison, Burning Times. And that's from an LP that we've had here at the station since the beginning. I can tell from the label stamped on it. Well, someone who's been around not that long, but he sure has made an impact, is Ron Craig. Hi, Ron.
Hi, happy Friday.
Happy. Right, I loved your TGIF, right. Well, speaking
rumor has it.
Rumor has it. Well, you got to know, because you've got a gig starting tonight, don't you? A big time gig.
14th year of being able to bring 14th. Some very, should I say, interesting, should I say, cinema
well,
to the northern coast.
It's pretty amazing. 14th year. Wonderful. Astoria International Film Festival, folks. It starts tonight. All the films are at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial. You can go to libertyastoria.org, check out the films, get your tickets, and be ready to roll at 6 o'clock this evening. So, Ron, do you have a... world-class film festival. Do you have a theme this year, or what's happening?
Well, part of it is, like I said, we had to skip a year, so we had to reboot. So it's like it's being able to look at things from a historical perspective as far as the film. And like I said, we want to look at, the history. And with the films, we go all the way to contemporary to the point of having Some Like It Hot as far as, a contemporary, a historic sort of film and stuff. So it's more or less, just looking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And making it a little, it sounds kind of remedial. But that's pretty much what we're looking at, the stuff, something concurrent. And also the idea that we're, highlighting local people. As far as something about a vampire, I don't know about that. That's crazy.
I had no idea when I first read about the films, and I thought, I scare easily. So not for me. And then I went and looked up this, because I was thinking that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Who are the locals? So I looked it up, and I went, oh my God, what is this? What's with Vampira, Vampira? How do you, I don't even know how to say it. Tell us. Who is this person?
It's Vampira. And primarily, it's one of these individuals, as far as, you know, it's, should I say, the typical Hollywood story where, and I'll just say as far as gender-wise, where a young girl says, I'm going to Hollywood and be a star. And as far as within her biography and stuff, is the idea that she was discouraged, you know, stay here and that story and work in the market, you know, canning salmon and stuff, you know, but the fact of being able to do that and going there and having, you know, as far as success to some degree, but then again, it just went, you know, south completely. And mm-hmm. I think it's one of those stories that I think everybody can relate to, whether you want to be, you know, a pilot or an artist, you know, the idea of not letting somebody deter you.
So, including her mother, it seems, telling her,
yes.
You know, get that out. So what, where did you, I mean, I know you, that's your thing, is film. You yourself are a filmmaker. You put a couple of them, the documentary, Who Was York, which did very well, and you've studied and portrayed and lectured about York in all kinds of places, including, wasn't it somewhere in the Capitol there?
Yeah, we were invited, you know, the Capitol during the Bill Clinton era and stuff to be able to go there and stuff. And we were part of the idea of acknowledging the fact of, as far as a little known person of the expedition as far as York and also Sacagawea. But with this sort of thing, as far as history, I think people have to look at, as far as me personally, that history can be, you know, looked down any sort of, you know, pipe way and seeing these different things as far as history, because it all comes back, once again, to historia. And I think it's really a lot of fun to be able to look at films mm-hmm. and see, you know, people say, well, is this real? And trust me, the idea people look at, so that couldn't have happened. And like I said, it's like going around and promoting and stuff like that to people who lived here, you know, for ages. They said, oh, my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's, to have that, you know, yourself included, and it's nothing, it's no deterrent. It's the fact that it just wasn't pushed out there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mm-hmm. it's exciting historically.
And I understand that, let's see, her Vampira's non-stage name was Myla Elizabeth Normie.
Yes.
But the Normie.
Yes. She has some serious, shall we say, Finnish roots.
Serious.
And I think, and I think with that itself, once again, talking about the history and stuff as far as looking at it, and also the idea that she never came back here once she left.
Yeah, but her niece, I don't know where her niece lives. She's put a book out, Glamour Gold.
Yeah, she lives in Salem.
Okay.
And we've had a number of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's like, you know, one kind of a side note as far as with documentaries, you know, lecturing the young students, they always ask me about documentaries. I want to do a documentary. And as far as Vampire's niece, the idea that she was so intrigued to be able to pursue that. And I always tell people, get your little iPhone out, find the oldest person in your family and stuff,
mm-hmm.
interview them for 10, 15 minutes. You've done a documentary because you documented that person's existence,
mm-hmm.
and it's part of your family link, and to be able to do that. And when I hear people that do that, I think that's so incredible, because it, the fact of, you know, if people say document, well, documenting your existence and your family existence, that's five star.
Right. Now, most of us don't have someone like Vampira in our family, but that's okay. It might be just as exciting in another way. So, okay, now let's go back to this particular festival, because the film Vampira is a Finnish film. That's on tomorrow night. What's happening tonight?
Well, we're doing a Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is an Ed Wood film. And she had, should I say, with Ed Wood, a starring role in that was not a big deal. It's considered the worst film that was ever made.
I heard it's but a cult
yeah,
film.
I mean, it's not me. It's an experience, you know. And to be a part of that, and she actually got to the point that was saying she didn't even want to do any dialogue on it, and it was that bad, you know. And most times you have people that are upcoming, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. But we're doing that one, so it gives people a sense of where she was going with it. And at the same time, we have also the opportunity to be able how she, you know, as far as pursuing her career with the documentary, which will be showing on Saturday. And that gives a more sort of in-depth look at who she was and as far as her links and everything. And I think people will find it very intriguing to be able to do that and stuff. So it's really crazy. In a positive sort of way to be able to see that.
Yeah, it's terrific. And it's the right time of year, too. Who knew, you know, for a vampire to come around. So and you're starting, so the Plan 9 from Outer Space is at 8:30. Is there something coming after that, or I read
No, that's the only thing we're doing there. We're cutting it close. It's not so much short, but the idea as far as is when late night, things like that, as far as with the situation right now, as far as the deals we're dealing with the virus and everything, we decided to go ahead and do it that way. But the thing, we start early, relatively early, about 11:30 on Saturday with Maiden. And if you have not seen that film, it, once again, it's one of those, I won't say sleepers, but it basically what it tells this female crew sailing a sailboat around the world.
Oh.
And it's just the fact that nobody said they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Why couldn't they do it? Women can't do it.
Right.
End of conversation.
Nah.
With the fact of seeing this film, you know, I tell people, you're going to get seasick watching this.
Yeah.
You know, and it has nothing to do with the water. The idea of being able to see, you know, how adamant, and at the same time, tying in with the fact that doing, like, as far as vampire, her mom said, don't do it.
Right.
You can't do it. She did it. The same thing with this.
Nice.
And then we go on to, after that, we have Some Like It Hot. And once again, it's one of those films that when it came out, it was considered, you know, kind of controversial and stuff as far as the film, as far as gender identity and so on and so forth. And yet at the same time, it is considered one of the top 10 comedies that's ever made.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like people like, oh, whoa. And I guarantee people when they watch that, they're going to look at this, what the hell were they talking?
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just an incredible film.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of being able to look at that, and like I said, once again, I'm going to say, it's, you know, trying to tell people the story and what you can do if you have the, you know, you want to go forward with it.
Right.
And then we do the, at 7:30, we do the vampire documentary.
Okay. And then Sunday, you got a couple of films Sunday?
Yes. As far as Fahrenheit 451, and as far as one of these, you know, science fiction movies, once again, I think, you know, we're talking about this as far as being on Halloween, things of that nature and stuff, as far as, you know, framing these things. It's one of these sort of incredible stories that I think people look at, and I think they'll, you know, we've experienced some of the same things that have been documented in this film. Like I said, it's really incredible. It's 50 years old. And then, you know, as far as then we finish up on Sunday with Zorbit the Greek.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, have I got stories to tell about that movie and that song. Yes. Oh, that's one of my favorites. I'll be there for those two, for sure.
Yeah.
Zorbit the Greek. We could all start dancing in the aisles. I'm not sure if we can do that at the Liberty these days, but maybe if we're spread out enough, we can do a little hasapico. I'll lead.
Well, also, we're getting people together. We always want to have the filmmakers get together and stuff, and as far as the people coming to watch the films and stuff. So Montiki, which is a gallery right behind the Liberty Theater.
Right.
We're going to have a wine tasting there, like starting at 5 o'clock on Saturday for people to interact with the filmmakers and talk about the film, things like that. So we'll just be sitting there and just sipping wine and a little bit of beer here and there and stuff, mm-hmm. and to be able to talk about it, stuff like that. So people will be sure, because we always like to be able to do that, and we've had to adjust some things, because one of the big things with me personally is being able to be able to talk about the
yes.
film.
You've done a great job. Over the years, we've had lots of really good discussions, usually upstairs, but
yes.
all over town. Okay, so time for us to go, but let me ask you, what do you suggest the best place for people to make sure they know what's going on when and get tickets and all that? Do you agree libertyastoria.org is the best place, or do you have a supplement?
Well, there's also the Astoria International Film Festival is a link that also gives people a little overview as far as about the film.
Okay.
A little more information about it and stuff as far as our website. And that's just Astoria International, or go, IFFF, Astoria International Film Festival, the letters.
Go AIFF.com?
That's it.
Okay.
Or just Astoria Film Festival. It'll
right.
pop up if you do a search on it. It'll
right.
be there and give you a good idea of a little bit. You can go into it saying, okay, now I understand.
Yeah. What did Ron say? Oh, okay. Okay, folks. We're talking to Ron Craig. If you haven't met Ron, well, obviously, if you don't live around here, you might have heard of him or seen him. But if you live around here, you've probably run into him somewhere. He's been on the radio numerous times, and he gives talks in various places, but it's really delightful to join him at these film festivals because he knows a lot and he shares a lot and he answers questions if he can, and if he can't, he makes it up. Is that right, Ron?
I'll make you believe I know.
There you go. Thanks so much for joining me, Ron, and for bringing us the festival 14th year. Woohoo! Terrific.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. I have a couple more guests finishing us out and some music because I couldn't find it last week. I've got the Horsenecks, and mostly because I love their music, but also they played at the Grange. Let me start them off. They played at the Natel Grange last week, but and this Wednesday, the 27th of October, they'll be playing at the Peninsula Arts Center, and there may be some tickets left. It's a 4 o'clock performance, 360-901-0962. That's Bill Svensson at the Peninsula Arts Center, and it would be a delight. So check it out if you can, but you got to go fast because the tickets disappear. There's only 36 tickets per show. So enjoy the music. Stay tuned. KMUN.org, Carol with Arts Live and Local. And healing wishes to Victoria and Jeff and Pam and Dawn and Deb, Carolyn and Sue Z. And you.
Well, he put his horn up to his mouth, till him on down, till him on down. Well, he put his horn up to his mouth, till him on down. Put his horn up to his mouth, and blew the wind ball, got him south, so cut him down. Catch him now, catch him in the air. Well, a wobble came with such a slice, till him on down, till him on down. Well, a wobble came with such a slice, till him on down. Wobble came with such a slice, so quickly, won't get him, so cut him down. Catch him now. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's Barry singing and Gabrielle and Barry playing. They are fabulous, so catch them if you can. Wherever, this time they're at the Performing Arts Center, but they could be showing up anywhere. So just watch for them. And two delightful people who make this a better place. Newcomers, only a few years here. Lucky us. Well, speaking of lucky, I've got two fabulous women on the line. One of them has been in this studio with me many times over the years, and I so appreciate her. And that would be Betsy Millard. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm glad you're here.
Great.
Now,
the
other person, I know she's fabulous because of what she's doing, but I don't know. I don't even know if I know her. Madeline Mattson. Hi, Madeline.
Hi. Yeah, actually, I have been on your show before a couple times, and once back when I was in high school for a drama club.
Oh, my God. How long ago was that?
Maddie's a local. We're so happy to have her at the museum.
So, Maddie, I was thinking, but you have so many names, I wasn't sure if that was the same you. But I do. I looked up and I saw, oh, she bakes and she does this and that. I think I know who this is. So how long ago were you in high school, Maddie?
Oh, let's see. Well, I graduated in 2007, so I guess
okay.
You can do the math.
Okay. So you qualify. I love these folks are the former executive director for many, many years. That'd be Betsy. And Maddie, the current executive director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. How long have you been in the position, Maddie?
I have been the director now for about just over a year.
Okay, I wasn't sure when the changeover was, so it was in 1920, right in the middle of the pandemic.
Right in the middle of COVID.
You guys know how to do it. Okay,
yeah.
Well, one of the things I am in awe of what the museum is doing, bringing in so many highly qualified young people. Like Maddie, it's brilliant, right, Betsy? You know?
Yes, it's wonderful, and that's one of the great, great things about museums is that there's so many opportunities and so many. Maddie's bringing fresh, new programming ideas, and I get to stick around and play with exhibits and do fun things.
Yeah, well,
it's pretty exciting for us up here.
That's the other part, bringing in new, younger folks. However, being smart enough to keep the experienced folks around too. So you moved into curating, volunteer. Boy, did they get lucky! I mean.
Very lucky.
I'm so jealous, but of the organization. But it's a wonderful museum. And here's something interesting. Just this morning, on Joanne Rideout's ship report, she talked about the Columbus Day storm, October 12, 1962. And where did she get her information? From the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. She was saying she was showing her gratitude for all the help she got from CPHM in putting this report together. So
and
twice in one day.
That was through our wonderful community historian program and Frank Lane, who is one of the community historians,
mm-hmm.
and he also administers the Friends of Long Beach Facebook page and does a lot of really great writing on what we call tidbits of history.
Wonderful. So, folks, you're getting the feeling this museum is fabulous. If you've been, you know. If you haven't been, you got to go. So they're here today, however, for a very special reason, because, and I'm going to quote/paraphrase, there has been a lot of, quote, out the window in the last year and a half not Betsy, she didn't go out the window, but staring out the window, throwing old traditions or habits out the window, replacing, at least for this year, annual 6x6 out the window. So they couldn't wait any longer for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's too much fun, and we have such fabulous local and regional artists. And let's be honest, this is a fundraiser. So this year it's called Out the Window Art Auction. And I'm going to ask Maddie, why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, so this is, like you said, coming out of our annual art auction, which is called 6x6 traditionally. And this is kind of a new version of that, that we're doing both in person and online. Unfortunately, we can't have a party like we normally do.
I know, I miss that.
Yeah.
Such good food.
Many people
too.
Are very sad. It's yes. a much loved community yes. event. But in order to kind of keep the spirit of it alive and continue to have the fundraiser for the museum, which this is our biggest, most important fundraiser of the year, and so we have the art hanging now at the museum in our special exhibit gallery for 3 weeks, so people can come in, see the art in person, and they can bid in person at the museum, or if you can't make it over here, you can go online, and you can bid and see all the artwork online. And you can get there by going to our website, ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org, or you'll easily find it by going to our Facebook page as well. So it's pretty easy to track down.
Okay, and then at those sites, it will tell you how to sign up to bid if you do decide to do the whole thing online. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep. It'll tell you how. It's very, very easy. But if you have any problems, feel free to give us a call at the museum or stop in, and we'll help you register and get you all bidding and ready to go.
Tell folks where the museum is, please.
Yeah. So we're located on Lake Street in Owako, just off the main downtown drag.
Okay. And the times, it's for 3 weeks. The art is going to be on the wall. Timing?
Yeah, so the auction itself will end on November 13th at 10 p.m. The online auction will close, so you have until then to get bids in online. You can come into the museum. Our regular hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 4. And if you haven't been in the museum for a while, we did just recently remodel 3 of our galleries during our closure.
Ooh.
Over the last year. So
nice.
There's a lot of new stuff to see. So you should use it as an excuse to come over. And the museum is also free through the end of the year. So you can walk through and see all of our new exhibits for free.
Lovely. But we can buy memberships.
Yes,
They're
we love
very,
members.
We don't give.
Our
we don't
members
give,
have been incredibly important
right.
In kind of keeping the doors open for the last bit and making sure that we were financially stable over this whole new experience that we've all been going through. And so, yeah, we love members, and you can do that on our website as well.
Okay, now you said Wednesday through Saturday or
Saturday.
Sunday? Wednesday
yep.
through Saturday. Tell me again that open hours.
Yeah, 10 to 4.
10 to 4. Okay. I'm writing it all down, so I'll have it here. Also, in addition to the art, you have one of your former people at the museum. I think he was a board member, the late Dirk Swearingen.
Swearingen.
You're doing some kind of a raffle. Tell
yeah,
us about
so we
him.
Always do a raffle to kind of go along with the art auction. This year it's a little bit different in that the winner of the raffle will receive this. It's an incredibly stunning photographic print from Dirk. It's signed and dated, and it's also hanging at the museum, so people can come check it out in person.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so the raffle tickets are $20 a piece.
Okay, we don't give prices, so that's okay. Go online and find out, folks, all
great.
Of the details there, right. So, the pieces alone, how many art pieces do you have?
We actually have over 60 pieces.
Wow, lovely. And any particular ones you want to... mention. They're all wonderful. They're so different. And this time, they're different sizes as well.
Yeah, that's right. Typically, they're always 6x6, but this year they completely range in size. We even have some ceramic pieces. One of my favorites that kind of comes to the top of my head is Wendy Peterson's Dinah Through the Looking Glass, which is a great, if you're a cat lover, you should check it out. But I'm sure Betsy has a favorite, too.
Oh, I have so many favorites. It would take another hour. I was just looking at the website and putting bids on. And one of the things I love about this auction is we're very egalitarian. So just like when you come to the auction on the site, we start the bidding pretty low.
Everybody,
we want everyone to have a chance to get in there and bid. So it's very affordable.
Right.
And there's a few things that are not. Specifically art, but a little art related. So, for instance, the new Bowline Hotel gave us a night to put in the auction, and we were trying to sort of pair that with the idea that you go to Art Walk in Astoria
on a Saturday night. Very clever, yes.
and you know, get to have a drink out and then not have to drive across the bridge
Right. Or
all the way out to Brownsmead, Carol.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of fun things, and the art and the artists have just been so generous.
Yes.
And a lot of the artists are from the Long Beach Peninsula, but there's artists from Warrenton and Astoria. Your Art Loft crew over there is always very generous to us. So there's a lot of really wonderful things to see: photographs, ceramics.
Yeah,
I've got bids on a lot already. It started this morning.
I saw, because I happened to be online in the middle of the night, and I saw it was the countdown. So it opened like right at midnight, and I thought, oh no, I'm not going to do this in the middle of the night. But folks, it's a fun thing. It is more fun in person, but the art is just as good, and supporting the museum is a wonderful thing to do. Thank you so much, Betsy Millard and Madeline Mattson. And this is the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum.org. Check it out, folks, for the Out the Window Art Auction. And it goes through November 13th. And if you can get over there in Ilwaco, it's well worth walking through and seeing. I'm sure there's a mask mandate on. I didn't ask them, but
You're correct.
Yeah. I figured every wise person is doing that. So congratulations on getting this together this year. Very impressive. And to you, Maddie, wahoo! From a high school student to becoming the executive director of one of the best museums. I love it. Thank you so much. And Betsy, I miss you.
I'll see you, I hope, soon.
Okay. Take care.
At the museum.
Yes. Okay. We'll do it. Thanks so much, folks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put on a little bit of the Horsenecks, and folks, there we go. And because we have about 20 seconds, I'll just remind you, Bay City Arts Center has Budwig. Don't forget the 1015 Theater, the Weir, the Coaster Theater, Oscar Wilde's Pictures of Dorian Gray. Kala has Will Orniak, wonderful storyteller. This is all tonight, folks. And the...
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live at KMUN.org.